looks like it's 11:45. I will call the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission meeting, order for Monday, July 25th, 2022. Let's stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice.
And before we jump any further, I want to check, it looks like we have Dave Berg and Robert Scott on Zoom. Want to make sure that you guys can hear us and everything's working there.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you just great. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining. All right. So moving on, any changes or requests for changes or additions to the presented agenda? Hearing none, we'll move into item number three, the approval of the consent agenda, including the minutes from July 11th, 2022, and the review and approval of the payment of bills in the amount of just over $5.6 million.
We have a motion to accept the consent agenda.
All right, so we have them. Any questions, or John, is there anything that you'd like to point out?
Commissioner Eric said no, but I'd be more than happy to answer questions.
Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the roll.
Yep. Just one I had on page four, seeing Missouri River, and it's transmission true-up. What does that mean?
Commissioner Lamar, good question. What the true-up is, every month they invoice us for a transmission bill from GRE prior to receiving it. So they have a rate set that we pay, and then once they get the invoice, which then the following month is trued up with actual cost.
Oh. Thanks.
Good question. Any other questions? None, now we'll take roll call.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Ingard?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
Next, we'll move into item number four. We have our consultant, Dave Berg, here to present the final 2022 water rate report. Zoom, and Dave, I'll let you take it away.
All right. Thanks much, and I appreciate being able to do this via Zoom. I would actually rather be there in person, but circumstances were such that I needed to do it this way, so I do appreciate that a lot. I have a PowerPoint presentation, so I'm going to go ahead and do a share screen here. John, do they also have this?
Yeah. Okay, Dave, you're up.
Okay.
PowerPoint is up.
All right, perfect. Okay, so this is basically the, you know, the final recommendations relative to the water rates, and I was out a couple of months ago, I think, and we sort of laid the framework around, you know, I guess what the problem is, what the issues are from a financial perspective. So we're going to talk a little bit about, there's a few little changes from what I talked about when I was there in May. So I'll just update that. And then basically giving, you know, recommendations on rates and rate design, and show you some, basically some bill impacts for average customers in each of the categories of customers, and then show you how the recommended rates impact our projections, which obviously that's the reason that we're doing this, is to make sure that we keep the water utility, you know, fiscally sound over time. So this is the capital improvements. I talked about this in May. The thing is that it went up since then by about $1.4 million all relative to the numbers for water mains. So that 1.4 million is spread over, but some of that was still a bit in flux when we were talking in May. Unfortunately, another thing that we were talking about in May was that we were potentially hopeful about getting, you know, maybe something from the legislature in a special session. But as we're all aware, that special session never occurred. So, you know, if at some point relative to the new water plant, you might get some dollars, you know, that will certainly make things a little bit better going forward. But relative to the recommendations that we're giving today, it's all under the assumption that we're not getting any additional dollars from the state or anybody else, I guess, for that matter. The operating results, essentially, the bottom line is just a tad worse than it was. We made a couple of little adjustments, some operating expenses. Not significant there. But also, when we look at our cash and reserves estimate, primarily because of the increased capital improvements, the end of 2026 estimate is now $1.3 million less than it was with what we were projecting in May. So, you know, all in all, things got just a touch worse than where we were a couple of months ago relative to our assumptions. We still have the assumed $23.7 million debt issuance next year. And then, of course, the principal payments and interest payments that go along with that. So the cost of service hasn't changed. Just as a reminder, the cost of service results look really, really good. So our rate recommendations, there is no differences by class that are necessary due to the cost of service. The differences between allocated cost to serve and the revenues for your three major groups of customers are well within a range of what we would call, within sort of the margin of error, if you will, in cost of service. So we don't have any cost of service changes that we're making relative to the rate recommendations. So the unfortunate news, which I don't think comes as a surprise to anybody, but we're looking at annual rent increases of 20% the next 3 years, and then an additional 5% in 2026. Now, the last time we did this, we actually had a series of increases, including an increase in 23, but that increase in 23, which was less than 20%, has essentially been eliminated and replaced by a new higher increase in 23. And that's almost entirely due to, you know, capital improvements and that, you know, basically 50% increase in the cost of the water plant from where we were, just based on what's been going on with, capital items and the rather significant inflation we've been seeing across all utility industry relative to the cost of new stuff, you know. Because the cost of service is good, we're essentially doing across-the-board increases. We do have a slight thing relative to multi-housing units, and I'll get to that in a second, but their rate is changing a little bit beyond just sort of an across-the-board increase. So looking at existing and proposed rates. So you've got meter charges, which are based on the meter size. So most residential are either 5/8 or 3/4, and then obviously the bigger customers, you start getting into the bigger meter sizes. And so we've just got those going forward, and you can sort of eyeball the rate increases of about 75 cents a year or so the first 3 years for the smallest, and then a little bit smaller one currently in 26 because of the only 5% increase. You also have a fixed charge. Now, here's one of the places where the multi-unit housing, right now they're getting just the commercial fixed charge. And we're recommending that we move to a fixed charge for multi-units that's based on the number of units. You'll notice the numbers here are the same as the 5/8 meter charge, but essentially we're saying if it's a 4-unit multi-using, you take this times 4. If it's an 8-unit, you take it times 8. And so at some point they would, you know, the bigger ones would get higher than commercial, and then the smaller ones, you know, would be slightly higher than residential for the most part. So it's just sort of making that variable relative to the number of units rather than just sort of treating them as a commercial kind of water user, because they're sort of that mix. They're somewhere between what we would typically see with residential usage and what we would typically see with sort of standard commercial usage. Also, the consumption charges, and you have seasonal consumption charges, which prior you have had the residential, commercial, and industrial, which you currently have. And those rates all just go up by our rate increases. But then the multi-housing, what we've done is we've sort of made them a hybrid on a consumption basis, in that sort of like I talked about with the fixed charge, we're placing them kind of between commercial and residential so that their consumption rate will be, after going into next year, somewhat higher than what we would see with commercial, but somewhat lower than what we would sort of see with standard residential. So we're just sort of putting that multi-housing as sort of a combination between, or as a customer that we place somewhere between kind of commercial and residential. So, you know, everybody is basically going to see those increases that we talked about, except some of the multi-unit housing folks will see increases, at least the first ones, a little bit slightly higher, particularly in the consumption rate that they'll be seeing. Any questions so far?
We're good, Dave.
Okay, thanks. So, looking at average monthly water bill impact. So like, for instance, an average residential uses about 720 cubic feet per month. And most of them, they'll use more in the summer. And these averages also are based on an average of the seasonal consumption rates. So that, you know, at these usages, a summer bill would be a little bit higher, a winter bill would be a little bit lower. But right now, a residential average is about $32 a month. And then you can see what the increases are like on a monthly basis for each of the consumption, or each of the increases, where then by the time we get to the end, you know, it's coming close to doubling when you do a 20, a 20, a 20, and a 5, where it goes from about $32 a month up to now about $58 a month by 2026. And of course, then you can see basically the exact same sort of things when you look at average customers in these other areas and the increases. And obviously for the large industrial, you know, it starts to look like, you know, real money when you talk about, you know, $15,000 increase in a bill. But that's 20%. So then what happens is we end up with, when these rates are all flow through the financials, we end up with really strong, you know, financial results. But because of the debt load, we need strong bottom line, because the principal payments, you know, are below the accounting bottom line, because they show up here in the cash and reserves, where we've got these, you know, about $2 million a year of new debt principal payments. And so you can see, you know, that's where we're kind of getting with our bottom line net change in position as we go out. Now, you still benefit from the fact that you had built cash up to about $13 million, which was, you know, done on purpose, because you knew that, you know, the large capital projects were coming. And so basically what happens is it gets down to about $5.5 million in 24, and then we start to bring it back up again with the subsequent rate increases and with kind of a leveling off of the capital improvements after making the big hit for the new water plant. And working with staff and talking, that this is basically right on, currently on schedule with where you're looking to sort of rebuild reserves again for the next group of capital improvements. And with that, any questions?
Any questions? Well, Dave, I think you did a very thorough job. I know I had a few questions, and you answered them along the way. Interesting to see the numbers, the impact that it has. So.
Well, and nobody, you know, nobody enjoys large rate increases. I've yet to have a client who was excited about them. But it's, you're not alone. I'm seeing this a lot, in particularly in water. A lot of the water studies I've been doing the last couple of years have had significant increases for all the same reasons that that you're having them as well.
Right. I don't know if this is Dave or John, whichever one of you wants to take this, but that water main increase, that was for the difference in the contract with the city that we talked about a couple times ago. Is that correct?
Commissioner, that is partially correct.
Okay.
The increase we got in water mains has to do with the city addressing or trying to catch up with their street projects. They're running behind on it, so they're hoping to invest more. Maybe our liaison, O'Brien, maybe can talk to some degree on where the city's at. But as an example, this year they almost doubled the amount of dollars they're putting in street replacement projects. So that means we got to double our budget as well so we can replace our water main. So the city's goal is to get caught up on their street projects, which is driving us from $750,000 is what we had in our budgets to the numbers we have in here now, $1.2, $1.3 million.
Okay.
So we do not have the city street study yet. They had a preliminary study back. The city is in the process of having a street assessment done to identify the conditions and the priority of their streets. And once they have that done, we'll have a little bit of pulse, but working with the city and the city engineer, the number we have in the study here is a number that was being recommended by them. So.
Put it out any, one more time, any other questions? Hearing none. All right, well, thanks again, Dave. We appreciate all the work that you've put into it.
Thank you all. I'm happy to be of service as always.
Thank you, Dave.
All right,
thank you.
We'll see
you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so this one's looking just for a motion of approval to accept the final report of the water utility cost and service and rate design study. Motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
A second. Any discussion? Discussion. All those in favor, say, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed?
Commissioner Erickson, if I may, the next step of the process then to implement our rates would be to work with the city to adopt an ordinance. So that process starts here with the commission. We will be holding a public hearing, and after that, then it will elevate to the city for the city to move forward with the official ordinance adoption process.
We just really got to lean on our congressmen to try to get some money. I mean, that's to offset some of this, if at all possible. But I think that's kind of our only hope out there right now to change that.
Mm-hmm. So we'll move into item number five, the approval of the July 19th planning committee meeting minutes. I'll get there. So with Commissioner Muskie being out, I will open these. So during that meeting, we had kind of one main topic, and that was the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project funding. And through thorough conversation with Corolla, our engineer, we discussed the requirements that we are going to specifically stipulate within our bond funding guidelines. And with both state and federal funding being unsuccessful to date, and the possibility that we could be awarded some federal funding of a maximum of $3.5 million, and what the additional costs that may come through for including, you know, the stipulations that come with that federal funding, we decided that it would be beneficial to remove those requirements from our bond funding guidelines, because at best, the extra cost that it would provide to the project for what we may be able to get from in federal funding dollars would become a wash. So that was where most of our discussion revolved around, with the recommendation being that we would accept the staff's recommendation to delete those requirements from the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project specifications. So with that, and then we adjourned there at 10:24. With that, I will offer up these minutes. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed? All right. And then we do have a second motion to discuss as well, to approve the deletion of requirements for acceptance of federal grant funding from the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project specifications. You want to have there, or I'm looking for a motion of approval of that.
So move.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
I really felt we gave a thorough investigation during that committee meeting, and the one big one, if we're going to eliminate some of the federal stipulations in order to get that money, the concern was, the work perform still meet the standards, and it's okay not to have that, the federal standards, and that we were reassured by our speaker at that time that all the specifications that are currently in there, if we take those out for getting federal money, we're still going to be doing what we need to do, and it will meet the standards of good practice in the work.
Any other discussion?
Yes. Commissioner Erickson, if I can add a little bit to that too, as a recap of the efforts that went into federal and state, acquiring some federal and state funding. We've been looking at and trying to acquire federal and state funding for about 3 years. And this last year, we actually had on the state side, we had a bill both in the House and on the Senate side for $21 million. And between receiving, all or some of the $21 million along with the $3.5 million from the state, it would have been advantageous to comply with the requirements of receiving money. But at the federal level by itself at $3.5 million, as Commissioner Erickson recapped, at best it would be a wash, if not cost us money to accept those dollars. So that's just a little background on the resources that have gone into trying to, and the time that has gone into trying to land some grant dollars. So
good distinction to point out. Thank you. So having a motion and a second, all those in favor of approving the deletion of requirements for acceptance of federal grant funding signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed? Passes. All right, next we'll move into the transmission availability update from staff electrical engineer Jaron Smith. I'll let you take it away.
All right. Thank you, Erickson. So this has been kind of an ongoing topic for a while now. I'm going to start way back in December of 2021 when a group approached us, wanted to buy a vacant building in Industrial Park. They said, we'd like 20 megawatts right now, and we want a path to get to 100 megawatts. And for reference on that, our peak right now is about 60 megawatts. So this customer would start out being our largest customer, and that'd be about 30% of our peak needs right now. We told them we can comfortably do 2 to 4 megawatts. They said, well, we need 12 megawatts to start. And so that's when things started getting interesting. So if they had been an existing customer, there's more options we have to grow load of our existing customers. But because they're a new customer, we need to follow a specific NERC or federal requirement, FAC 002, which outlines a transmission planning study that needs to take place in order to ensure grid reliability when this load comes on. MRES is our designated NERC transmission planner, and so they would be the ones performing the study. They said it would take them about 16 weeks in order to do a thorough job and give us a good answer on that. At that point, this group that came forward said, you know, we're evaluating multiple sites in different states. Time is of the essence, and we're not going to wait for the answer. They moved on. However, MRES really did want to continue with this study. They had already started conversations with other utilities in the area. And we also had interest in a different business in Industrial Park that was looking at that 5 megawatt range. So it was in our best interest to try to get a finite number on what our transmission system is. In the meantime, MRES did come out on June 6th and gave a presentation to the commission and discussed the complexities of transmission planning, different coordination requirements, and also the NERC reliability standards that need to be met when they perform. So with all that said, MRES did complete their load serving study. They called it here for Wilmer. On July 6th, we had a discussion with them on the 3rd. Their report has a lot of critical energy information in it, and so I'm not releasing it publicly, but I'll kind of summarize what they covered. First off, the assumptions in the study, as you know, anytime you see the projection of where we think things will go, and that's not always necessarily reality. So they use the MISO transmission expansion planning maps and projects as we go forward for the year 2026, peak loading, load growth, that type of thing. They also assumed that our Wilmer Sub transmission expansion project was going to be complete. They assumed all our generation is off, and that's just a normal planning process, 95% power factor. So with that, there is a little bit of room for us to improve our power factor by going up to 98%. That's kind of the industry norm. And so we are taking a look at increase our load serving ability just locally here without the need for transmission. But the results here are for a single outage, you know, worst case scenario, we can meet about 12 megawatts of load here in Wilmer without making any changes. If we do a double outage, just you know, be aware of what our risk is if we do go that far. That would be 2 pieces of transmission system out at one point. We still meet about 10 megawatts of additional load from what we have right now. Now, I will say, again, this is a study. It's using projections, and it's all going to be based on our system needs at that time. So even some of the Great River Energy load or the Candio High Power Cooperative load that's served from the same location our substations are, you know, as their needs grow or, you know, there's conservation that affects these numbers, but it's a good way for us to gauge, you know, as the Economic Development Committee comes to us and says, we've got a project, it looks like it'll take about this much energy, you know, is it something we should pursue or not? Confidence now. That's my summary of the report. Any questions?
Jared, to put things in perspective. Basically, we could add a genio.
Yep, yep. It's about, we have about a 15% margin for growth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody's similar to the size of genio. Sometimes easier to relate to that sort of scenario than the numbers.
That's good. I know that we've been working on this, and we wanted to have those answers. You know, as like you mentioned, the EDCs came to us a few times. Yeah, thanks for bringing this forward. Does anyone have any questions or comments? All right. Thank you. Next, we'll move into the general manager's report. John, if you want to.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Erickson. First item on there, a couple items I want to talk about here today. The first item on there, our facility tour. Next week, as usual, or next week, next meeting, in 2 weeks, August 8th, we typically invite the council. We're hoping to get an answer from the council on Tuesday morning. They have their meeting on Monday, so Tuesday morning we'll get a head count. We need that both for lunch and for busing purposes, so Kevin can get the right size bus or a large enough bus for that. And with the what we have laid out, it's going to be probably 2 hours or just shy of a two-hour meeting. So please keep that in mind as you're doing your own personal schedules and workload there, that we're going to try and keep it under 2 hours, but we'll be pushing that. Then the next on the calendar is Missouri River Policymakers Dinner. Usually that's in a different community. They have elected to hold it right here in Wilmer, so we're going to be hosting it here. And I'd like to encourage the commission to put that on your agendas and attend. You don't have a day out of the office. It'd be a couple hours in the evening, comes with a dinner as noted. And Beth will be pushing out a calendar invite so that you do have it on your calendars here after today's meeting here. So strongly encourage you to attend that. You get a very high level insight of what's going on for the coming year, a brief update on the past, and in a short, 2 hour time, 3 hour time, you can gain a lot of insight about the energy industry. Then the next one, we got Missouri River Municipal Power Leadership Academy. For those, again, that are new to the industry and new on the commission, that's an excellent workshop. At that academy, they cover, our power supply, the relationship between Missouri River and the utilities, cities, what they do for us. Again, you're out of town, but if you do have time and you're able to take it in, I would strongly encourage that academy, to take that academy, and if it does work in your schedule. So other than that, the rest are just Labor Committee meeting and Planning Committee meeting agenda items that will be forthcoming here as we continue to go forward. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Erickson, and I'll be more than happy to field any questions if there are any.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the update. Questions?
I just saw on there the new logo. Is that are we going to see some samples, or is there a committee put together to decide that, or you haven't done anything yet?
Oh, I apologize, Commissioner. What was the first part of your question?
The new logo.
Oh, the logo. Yeah, we were actually working with a professional designer, and we got a couple of designs yet, but we not need to bring it forward yet. Trying to make it look professional on our letterheads and stationery and stuff. So, but yes, it'll be coming forward as soon as we have some.
Perfect. Anything else to come before the commission? No? Hearing none, I would entertain an adjournment.
Second.
All right. And we are adjourned. Go.